Boy, just when you think Hart and I are ready to rip into our favorite football team in Foxborough, we get hit with a hot dash of breaking news to kick off the latest edition of Six Rings and Football Things, coming to you live this morning across the Fitzy GFY and WEEI socials. The New York Jetropolitans have fired Robert Saleh as head coach. Once again, Robert Saleh no longer the HC of the NYJ. Andy Hart, your immediate reaction?
Not surprised at the firing. We had the Jets on that list of coaches that could be on the hot seat early in the year. We've witnessed their struggles. Aaron Rodgers not looking great, the turnovers, the loss in London, his relationship with Saleh, the hugging, push-shoving thing, calling him Rob, like that whole thing. To me, it's just about, from my perspective, we call it on the afternoon program, Bill Watch, with the old Baywatch theme behind it. God, the dream is alive. Please tell me that Jeff Ulbrich, their interim coach, is only until Bill can sign his contract and get to Hempstead or whatever the hell they train out of now, because that, I know Patriots fans are already like, why would you want Bill to go to the rival? Entertainment value. I'm looking for some entertainment value from this NFL season, and seeing Bill Belichick in a Jets sweatshirt, hoodie, cutoff would absolutely entertain me. And seeing him paired with Aaron Rodgers, seeing two Hall of Famers paired up together and see whether that relationship could work. They both have this weird affinity for each other, but is that just from afar? If they spent time together, would they annoy each other really quickly with their personalities and all that crap? So I'm not stunned that Robert Saleh is out, but to me, the next story here is who's in, because you can't expect. I mean, is Nathaniel Hackett and Jeff Ulrich, are those guys going to like lead the Jets this season?
Oh, God, no. Ulbrich is way too full of himself for his own good. Nate Hackett didn't even make it through a full season in Denver. While he may be Aaron's boy, he is not a leader of men. Saleh seemed to have a commanding enough presence, but didn't pull the right levers and strings. And I will say this, while people didn't love the general tone and demeanor, and he was always surrounded by questions or doubters for a guy that looks like such an imposing badass. Gotta say, the guy was kind of porked in that he gets Zach Wilson, then he gets Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers blows out his leg, so he gets a hot bag of Zach Wilson again. Now he gets this version of Aaron Rodgers that can't connect with his receivers, throws three interceptions on the road against Minnesota, like is just perpetually miserable. It's a mess. So like, while he doesn't seem like the greatest head coach in the world, he kind of didn't make the most of what he was given and got done a little bit dirty. But you know what? A record of 20-36 and an international embarrassment at the Hotspur, that'll do it to you.
And I don't disagree with you. Like, circumstantially, there's a lot that's been gone there. He also just seemed kind of like a dink to me all along the way. The receipts comment and the various things he's dealt with. I'm just not sure he's a head coach. He looks like, you said it, you kind of see the look of him. He looks like a defensive coordinator, a guy that can be energetic on the sideline, that can do the Greg Williams or whatever when his defense gets a sack and get all hot. Yeah, like, I don't know that he's head coach.
You know, he seemed like a quality defensive coordinator in his days with the San Francisco 49ers, as Andy Hart's internet froze him in a very awkward position for a few seconds. Things got a bit wonky on your end there, love.
Yeah, it said oops.
But that's all right, connection. No matter. That's
technology,
sounds like a South
blows.
Coast issue.
It does.
And just to take you guys a little peek behind the Six Rings curtain, Hart and I were 20-something minutes late getting the pod off the ground today with the live stream, where we love engaging with you Foxborough fanimals, because the platform just decided to change a couple of program issues and wasn't allowing me to log in. It's refusing to stream this podcast this morning on Twitter, where, of course, we get a lot of our engagement and some of our finest fans find us as well. Oh, everyone enjoyed your little frozen face right there, Andy. Yeah, listen, more to the point now, and speaking to the podcast audience at large and not just playing to the
live. It's not AOL. I don't know if anybody can hear me. It's not AOL. It's Comcast Xfinity, and it blows. They know unless they want to be a sponsor, and then I'll praise them. I don't understand how I run.
And we'll be the biggest fans of the...
But like, how do I run a speed test 1 minute and I have like 600 Mbps or whatever the hell it is? It's flying. And then how do I run a test the next minute and it's like four? Like, I just don't understand technology. I hate technology.
I know. It's the pits. It really is, especially for a couple old men who love yelling at the clouds and their football team. So, Salah, this is another issue. See, as we've discussed here on this very podcast, and I know I have continued the dialogue on the evening program, and you have as well on the afternoon show, there is a major head coaching problem in the NFL. People that are successful as coordinators on both sides of the football don't necessarily, despite all their success, make for great head coaches overall, cannot turn programs around, and are not real program builders. So while Robert Saleh was successful in San Francisco, it's now starting to look like he was successful in San Francisco because of the horses that he was commanding to go do the dirty defensive work. And New York has not been able to build a winning program in 3.5 years' time. They believe they gave him the assets. It makes you wonder, how much time should you really be committed to giving a head coach when you spend all that money and now they're going to have to spend all this money to buy out his contract, find somebody else? How much time do you really think you should spend or you should allow a head coach? Is it 3-year minimum?
I think it depends on the situation. You can't give 3 years in this situation. They went all in on Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have 3 years. And, you know, maybe you're going to get Davante Adams. You know, in a normal situation, do I think like Gerard Mayo? It's a rebuild. You brought in a new GM. You brought a new head coach. Like, yeah, I think you probably need 3 years to figure it out, unless it's just an absolute train wreck. You know, for example, a mutiny, which has been shot down by everybody involved. But if you had a mutiny, you might have to move on faster than that. But otherwise, yeah, I think you got to give guys time to establish their program and their get their footing. But like I was saying about it, I agree there's a head coach issue in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like, because there's a little bit of me that like, okay, you're fast tracking these guys too quickly. Like guys are ascending from position coach to coordinator to head coach. Some of them haven't called plays. Some of them haven't like, but then I look at Kevin O'Connell and I say, man, he got fast tracked and it seemed to work pretty well. Like he's got the best team in football right now. He's turned Sam Darnold around. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the answer. And I guess the answer is like every coach is different. Every situation is different. As an owner, you need to A, know what your team needs, B, know what the candidates provide, and then marry those up properly. It's an art. It's not a science. I don't think there's like, okay, prerequisite. And we talked about this, like having prerequisites. Should you have to have been a coordinator for X number of years? Should you have had to have called plays? I don't know. Kevin O'Connell would be the counter argument, but maybe Gerard Mayo was the argument. Maybe he wasn't ready. Maybe he was put in a position where he wasn't ready. Like, so I don't know what the answer is. Did I freeze again? Are you making fun of me?
No. I'm just laughing at Joe McBride watching live on YouTube as we record the latest Six Rings podcast. Imagine if Urban Meyer was given 3 years. The actor who portrayed Urban Meyer in the Aaron Hernandez show?
With his eyeliner. So, but to me, the bigger question here is, like, we joke about it. Everybody tweeted it. Do you think there's any shot in Hades Bill Belichick would, A, be interested in the job, the Jets would be interested in him, and that could happen?
Yes, I do. Ooh. It's the worst news. I tweeted it right as the podcast was going live. Imagine if you had to read, I unresign as HC of the NYJ, BB, and it's handed over on a cocktail napkin. And there's just Pats fans freaking out, you know, worst nightmare. No, God, please, no. Some people saying like that could actually be the right move in a lot of ways. Like, what would Bill Belichick want? There's a talented running back. There is a talented wide receiver. There is a talented, if not, as some are saying, possibly washed, aging veteran quarterback. You have a decent offensive line, a great defensive line, a top five cornerback, and money to spend. Where else is he going? Let me ask you this. Straight up, dead on. Where else is he going to go? Is he going to wait to see if Mike McCarthy gets fired? They just came off an emotionally huge win, and Dallas isn't even playing their best football. I doubt he's going to get to go to San Francisco. They're not, even though they're struggling right now. He doesn't want to go to Miami. Buffalo, they're going to get rid of Sean McDermott.
They should.
I mean, the Bears may get rid of. I mean, the Bears are winning in spite of the fact that Eberflus is an Eberboob. I don't know. Like this could potentially be. Shake your head, but he's an Eberboob. Well, an Aber tool.
Oh,
Abergoose. Okay.
I'll take that. So what about Cincy? 1-4.
Yeah. Zach Rutten not looking so good. Now, he did. Now, whoever commanded them to run three times in a row and try a 53-yard field goal in overtime, that's an Aberboob. That's an Aber tool.
Sean right McDermott, there. Same thing. There was a lot of clock mismanagement.
What was about three at the five, throwing the ball deep three times in a row?
Crazy.
That is SSC, super suspect coaching.
That's loser football, and they deserve to lose. But I want to think Bill is a possibility. And, you know, your little joke about I unresign as the HC, I feel like the new Bill, the Bill that's on Instagram, the Bill that's on the Manning cast, might actually do that. Like this whole new world before he then goes back in the bunker and becomes the old Bill. Like one last salvo as the social media media darling Bill Belichick. Put that out on Instagram and then also say, by the way, my final tweet, Instagram.
Yeah, by the way, I got to respond to one of the comments. Joe McBride, who's had some excellent comments thus far live on the program here on the latest Six Rings. He said, please let Matty P become an OC again. I have terrible, terrible news for everybody. Matt Patricia's offense was way better now, statistically and with hindsight, being what it is. No matter how far we try to put it in our rear view, guess what? Matt Patricia's offense ran circles around Bill O'Brien's, and it makes the 2022 offense with Matt Patricia look like freaking McDaniels with Moss and Welker and Prime Brady in 2007. Sorry, that's just them's just facts.
Well, and that's with Bill coaching, and that's with obviously a different pool of talent and a different culture. And I mean, there's a lot of differences between the two teams 2 years apart, but you're right, just the numbers, the production. It is what it is now. Mm-hmm. Butterfly effect. I don't know if that necessarily ipso facto tells you Matt Patricia better than Alex Van Pelt, but Alex Van Pelt is struggling. I actually think Alex Van Pelt is kind of skated. There's far more focus on Jacoby Brissett, the offensive line, the quarterback position, than there has been on the offensive coordinator. And I, you know, Gerard Mayo immediately said not a consideration to go to Ben McAdoo. When, as you see, we are now in that time period where coaching changes start to be made, head coaches are being fired. And I'm sorry, when you have an offense as inept as the Patriots, it is commonplace that play calling duties are changed, that somebody else is given a shot. We just can't continue to, you know, status quo our way to 6 points, 10 points, 12 points a game. You can't.
You got to start with something. And so help me God. So help me God, and we'll get to this comment that I think is very relevant to the main discussion point of today's pod as we react live first to the Robert Saleh news, and now we get into the problems that the Patriots are having. So help me God, Andy. If Gerard Mayo comes out once again and says, we've watched the tape, we looked in the mirror, we passed out some cards, we took down another silo, XYZ, and I have to hear, Jacoby Brissett gives us the best chance to win a football game, I will show... I don't even know if I can do my ding-dong routine on the Jumbotron or I can do 3.5 hours of radio with you. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to take that in earnest because it's full of shit.
Well, to be fair, this week he didn't say it. He said wasn't good enough for Jacoby Brissett. And I firmly believe you're going
to
see Drake May on Sunday.
I know
Jacoby Brissett told us on Monday on the afternoon show that he believes he's going to start on Sunday. I don't believe that he's going to. I don't think you can keep putting it out there. The thing that's annoyed me this week is Gerard Mayo's new catchphrase of we're in the solutions business or whatever. Kept saying the solution business. Like, okay, then come up with an effing solution. That's your job. Don't tell me you're in the solution business. You have options. You have a different quarterback. You have a different offensive coach. You could have a different play caller. There are solutions on the table. Just saying you're in the solutions business and then not doing anything to actually enact a solution or try something is not doing your job. And I understand that he came into this job eyes wide open. And I do believe he and Robert Kraft looked at this as a multi-year job. I don't think they're looking for the short term, but you have to create solutions in the short term as well as the long term, to use his words. And Gerard Mayo needs to look to either Ben McAdoo or Drake May. To me, those are the two options you have to inject some life in this offense. You have options to turn to. Some places you don't. You don't have offensive line options. You don't have wide receiver options. You don't have talent-based options. You have a quarterback option, and you have a play caller option. And at least one of those needs to be attempted. You're 5 games in. You're 1-4. You can't score points. And worse yet, just on the play caller option, you're embarrassing yourself in situational football at the end of games and the end of halves. And I truly mean that. You're embarrassing yourselves. 100% embarrassing yourselves. So something has to change.
It's so ugly. It is such like the first drive was a completed pass, sack, sack. Second drive, after the incredible interception by Gonzo, who is definitely by far leaps and bounds the best player on the Patriots right now. And at least we know we have a high quality football player, if not a couple other good ones. We'd like to see if we have even more, but you can't when the offense is stuck in mud all the time. And it's not just all the offensive line's fault. Look, Mondre gets the touchdown run, and then you score 3 points over the next 52 minutes of football. GTFO. When guys like Doug Kide, I'm not going to play the full clip. We shared it on EEI last night. If you want to go find it, he has a Pat's Chat podcast, does a great job. When Doug Kide spends time opining for them to start Drake May because it's clear that Jacoby Brissett, though, you know, through some fault of his own, maybe some of it is the PTSD, post-traumatic sack disorder, whatever. But when Jacoby Brissett is clearly the offense's biggest problem and you got guys like level-headed, rational dudes like Kide saying, yeah, it's time for Drake May. You got to see what the kid's going to give you. Something needs to change. Then guess what, everybody? Something needs to change. The ball has to come out quicker. The pocket needs to move. You have to have somebody with a stronger arm. I understand people being fearful of developing bad habits and turning his first year of quarterbacking into, let me learn how to play the game at the pro level and let me go through my progressions and reads and adapt to NFL defenses. Going from, that's what it should be, and it may very well be, holy smokes, wow, there's a lot of people running after me. Quick, someone get open, help. That's also part of the pro game, and there'll be plenty of time for him to become. Patrick Mahomes didn't learn how to read a defense, he said, till like his fourth year in the NFL. There'll be plenty of time for that, and there will likely be a different offensive coordinator that'll help him. But all I know right now is, by and large, his teammates are not terribly happy, the coach is not happy, the media is not happy, and most importantly, the fans are not happy. It is time to make a change. It is May Day.
And he needs experience. Like, you know, Kenny Tasney says, stay the course, wait till next year. So then you're going to waste two seasons, because then he's going to have to figure it out on the fly next year. Next year is when he'll get his first experience. So I agree with you. It may be, holy crap, this is coming fast and furious, and there's guys hitting me, blah, blah, blah. Like, but there's value in that, because next year he's more ready to play when you have a more representative group of talent around him. If he does not play this year, that changes the view of next year, in my opinion. And you know I'm optimistic about next year, because I think there are opportunities in the offseason to really upgrade this roster and this talent around him. But the reality is, if Drake May doesn't play this year, Drake May is a total question mark next year. He may suck, and then you may waste next year figuring out your quarterback sucks. And I just can't really stomach that. That's not the way the NFL works these days. You find out about these guys, and you build the process moving forward. And, you know, all these comments behind the scenes, we've really only had one bad comment, and that was Bedard saying somebody told him he's not ready and this and that. Everything else has been positive. Players, yesterday on the midday show, Jones and Keefe, Hunter Henry called Drake May a great player. He lit up. He got almost like a positive emotional boost.
Like he had like a dopamine hit. He was like, yes. Oh my God, I actually feel good.
Yeah. Right. How about we do that on the field? Give everybody the dopamine.
You've got to start like right now. When you're running for office in any capacity, you don't just 6 weeks before the election go, hey, everybody, I would like to be your comptroller. I'd like to be your selectman. I want to be the town treasurer. I'd like to be president of the United States. It starts months. Kind of what the Democrats did. Or a year. Well, they had weekended Biden's as a freaking candidate guy. But by and large, you start like 18 months, 2 years prior. You do all sorts of things to lay the groundwork. The New England Patriots now know, obviously, they're not. Jacoby Brissett is a one and done campaign, and we thought that beforehand, and now that is more than abundantly clear. But you have to start letting people know that it will be a different kind of team next year, and you have to show people, look at the playmaking ability. Look at how affable he is. Look at that laser rocket arm. Look at all the things that Drake May brings to the table. Come to the New England Patriots next year. Yes, we're going to pay you 25% more than you'd get anywhere else out of desperation. But we've got something going on. If you go the entire year or three quarters of a year with Jacoby Brissett and then put May in around Thanksgiving when he's never been used to playing with freaking weather that cold, with ice falling sideways, numbing his fingertips? Get out of here. You have to showcase this kid against opponents of all quality and caliber in good and bad weather, on the road, home, London. I don't give a crap. You got to do it. Like, I wanted to stick to the plan. Guess what? The plan is ruining this team, ruining the season, and ruining careers. It's time to make a change.
And people always assume the negative, but there are potential positive ramifications of playing May. First of all, his experience. Second of all, he may boost the offense. But third, and maybe most importantly, he may put some stuff on tape that makes guys want to play with him. And I keep talking about this as a potential draw. If you
A business decision move, Andy. Yes.
Highlights. Like, if you want to go get T. Higgins, you need to make it look like you have a quarterback that T. Higgins wants to come play with, or whoever the wide receiver is. Whoever the guy you are going to try to go after this offseason, put some film on tape of Drake May making plays.
Exactly. Old man mob. I know college isn't NFL, but give May a shot. May will be the biggest reason for free agents to be willing to come to New England next year.
Been saying it for weeks. And a lot of people keep pointing to C.J. Stroud as he turned the Texans around, which is true. I don't think that's going to happen here, but it can do the C.J. Stroud inject life into New England and make New England a place where some people actually want to go. Because right now, I don't think anybody wants to come to New England, and why would they? What would you come to New England for? Not even the money. Not even the money.
Yeah, you're not. You like you've got some of your team captains and team leaders involved in scurrilous, if not potentially criminal and violent affairs early on a Saturday morning in my hometown on the South Shore. God only knows what happened there. We will cast no aspersions. Everything is going to be designated and labeled as alleged until we figure out exactly what happened with Jabril Peppers. But like the entire culture is blowing up. And back to the business decisions line. Andy, people are going to start making business decisions. I'm not going to go over the middle. I'm not going to play as hard as I need to. I'll do just enough to make sure they don't cut me or that I can still secure money somewhere else when I leave town. But I am not going to get, I'm not going full-blown Lazar mutiny here. People are not going to be willing to risk their careers or done get blowed up if they think it's going to be for another 17, 13, 15, 10, 31-13 loss. Sorry, it's just not going to happen.
Sorry, I was reading trying to sell Davante Adams on May. I think that's a tough sell. A quarterback sight unseen.
We don't need him. We don't need Davante Adams.
Forget that part. I agree. You don't need a 32-year-old wide receiver. But the idea of selling a guy who's never played, no, I don't think you can do that. If I'm Davante Adams, like, nope. I need to see the real deal. This is not a faith-based operation here. This is an eyeball-based operation here. And that's why I want Drake May on the field.
Oh, it does not feel like it's owned by Victor Kiam again, and we're a Zeke Mo. Wow, that's a deep dive from Joe Biller right there. Well, good for you for attending a couple of Joey Zaguire. You know why I go to Pats games? I go for the traffic. Nothing like sitting in Route 1. Hey, but you know what? But when you're sitting in traffic in Route 1, no better way to stay entertained and informed than listening to the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy and Hart live on EEI. Thank you, Jorge Lendeo. We just need some hope to build this city, not just rock and roll. Thank you. We do. We need a little hope. Andy, where is the hope right now in Foxborough? Where is the hope on the Patriots?
Christian Gonzalez. That's all you got. You saw him pick off a pass, undercut the pass, almost had another pass. He's now been running around with the Tyreek Hills of the world every week. That's really where the bulk of your hope lies, and then your hope is on change. It is like you brought up politics. Change is in the air. The hope to Drake May, the great white hope, whatever you want to call him, Drake May, and then the hope that injects some life into the offense. Because the reality is, if they had any life on offense, maybe they're 3-2 right now. They've lost two winnable games at home. They gagged one away against the Seahawks. They kicked away an opportunity this week. So, you know, as much as we feel like it's the sky is falling in Patriot Nation, there's bad football being played. There's a lot of competitive one-score games being played. I know we look at the Texans coming to town and like, oh, they beat the Bills. They're going to wipe the field with us. They can do this. They can do that. We'll see. If you can just, if you inject a little bit of hope into the team, and that's where I go back to the Hunter Henry. I said it in the preseason. When Drake May stepped on the field at Gillette Stadium, there was a buzz in the air, and I think there was a buzz on the sideline. There was a buzz within his team that injected, that was like a classic C4 energy. Like, chug that thing, Drake May comes in, and everybody feels like, oh, baby, let's go. They need that right now.
The only fun I have had watching the New England Patriots, sure, the first week was great, but that's not going to happen again. Was it fun to watch? It was a fake preview. That was almost like the original fake news. The most fun I've had watching the Patriots this year is when May got a glimpse in the second preseason game, but most important, like that road game in Pittsburgh. Yeah, they came after him. They unleashed the hounds on him. The New England Patriots have been consistently blitzed more than any other team this year. And why wouldn't you? Because of the O-line issues and because of how plodding, slow, and beaten up poor Jacoby Brissett is at this point. You may not, when you have Drake May back there, somebody who can grab it, sling it, and flick it like that. Those plays that he made.
Rub it down. Head up.
The 25-yard.
Like early 90s raps R&D song.
Stick it, lick it, and flick it. Let's tick it. Like the run up the gut, the pass to Osborne. I saw something. I saw a flicker. I saw a glimpse.
And I would argue the end of the game, we saw DeMario Douglas make a couple plays. We saw Polk almost make a couple plays. Mix in Drake May there and you lose a game, you'd feel better about it because you'd have a sampling. We've talked about this so many times of the future. You'd feel like you're accomplishing something, even in a losing effort. Right now, you're accomplishing nothing, less than nothing.
I'd like to also point out the old man mob with another solid comment here on our live stream as we record the latest Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Marte Mapu, considering the fact that they were down both starting safeties for his first full game in the NFL, not bad. Pretty good start. Wouldn't it be nice to see him come around? Again, not have his bust placed next to Christian Gonzalez's in Canton, Ohio just yet, but it would be nice to see him come around.
I would be happy to see anybody play consistently. Anybody. Like, just keep adding bodies to the mix, whether it's DeMario Douglas, whether it's Jalen Polk. Just, hell, the offensive line, I thought, was a slight uptick, a relative uptick this week. Nick Leverett aside, but Nick Leverett, I'm going to need you to be a little bit better. But that offensive line grouping, if you can... Here's a novel idea. Might they start the same offensive line 2 weeks in a row? Oh, my God. Is that... Maybe. Holy crap.
I got to say, Nick Leverett, not doing a bad job.
Well, not a great job.
Not great, but not bad. Yeah, Layden Robinson trying to hang in there. You got Michael, obviously he was hurt last week. Mike Onwenu, by the way,
worth the money.
Why is he having the season he's having? Got paid, is he having the worst, what it seems like the worst season of his career thus far?
He got fat, literally. Now, I don't know if it was the 80 pounds that Mike Lombardi talked about, but he was fat and happy with his new contract. And I also think there's a lot of ineptitude around him. Instead of a rising tide lifting all boats, is he just being dragged down by
the suck around him, or being anchors and dragging? I don't know.
I don't know. It's weird, and it's less than ideal. It is less than ideal the way he has played this year. Getting him back into guard, maybe getting him and staying there in guard. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a positive moving forward that they can kind of build around. I know Jacoby Brissett referenced that yesterday, just having those same guys out there to get some experience together, continuity week to week. We'll see, because I'm guessing that the Texans will continue to come after it because they are a blitz happy team, a pressure happy team.
With D'Amico Ryans as head coach, of course they are. And plus, with guys like Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, they can get after it.
Absolutely. And this is an offense. Now, that changes, I think, if Drake May, and that's the other thing, Drake May can run. Drake May can make plays on the run better than Jacoby Brissett can. So that factors into the calculus for this week, in my opinion. But I'm just waiting on that. I know we're doing this live and recorded on a Tuesday morning. I am hopeful that within the next 24 hours, we're going to find out that Drake May is playing, because that is the life, between Bill Belichick, Jets firing Saleh and Drake May starting, that would feel like a little buzz in Patriot Nation.
I just got a text message from Andrew Callahan, who wanted me to be aware of what a real mutiny looks like. And he included the link to Schefter saying Saleh got fired. And I texted him back and said, watch out, once Bill takes that job. Callahan said, I still think he has enough hate in his heart not to take the job, but can you imagine? And I said, if you're Woody, you have to make the call, right? And
absolutely.
And Callahan said, absolutely. I don't want to see it. But just on the, oh my God, I mean, just the can you, the, okay. I have two questions and we'll wrap this episode because I know you got a full radio show to do. I got to write about crap and more, but this is very fun. Two questions are, A, Andy, who do you think on the offense, let's stick with the now, would be the most immediate beneficiary of Drake May being inserted at quarterback? You can pick a playmaker or two. And B, do you think Patriots Nation could survive the seismic jolt that would be Bill Belichick possibly entertaining the idea of taking the job as HC of the NYJ?
So I think Pop Douglas would have the chance to have the most positive impact from Drake May. I think he has failed to connect with Jacoby Brissett a little bit. And I think under pressure, I think that's where you're going to see Drake May look, some of those quick routes. So I think there'd be some drags over the middle, little sidearm throws and things from Drake May to Pop Douglas that I think people would love. And then some deep overs, like the one that that Brissett and he failed to connect on the other day. I don't know how Patriot Nation would react if Bill went to the Jets, especially with us sort of bumbling and stumbling and fumbling our way through this season. Like, they have our coach and he's going to be reinvigorated, and we're not really sure we love our current coach who replaced him. I think it would be turmoil. I think there'd be infighting. I think there'd be a lot of debates, and there's going to be the Belichick rump swabs coming out of the woodwork and the Belichick haters and the whole thing. I think we're going to have a civil war. If Bill goes to the Jets, I think we're going to have a Patriot Nation civil war.
And we've been teetering on it for years now.
Yep.
There have been like local skirmishes and insurrections that have been breaking out. If Bill Belichick becomes the head coach of the Jets and pursues the all-time wins record against the Patriots with the Jets for a couple of seasons, holy smokes. But I love watching him on Inside the NFL, and he's great on the Coach Show on the Underbelly Network. No.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Holy smokes. Oh, hey, you know who else would benefit potentially? Maybe Jalen Polk will get more than three targets a game. How about my boy Javon Baker?
Tyquan Thornton is a good one because I think Drake May throws a much better deep ball than Jacoby Brissett. So anybody that's running down the field more than, say, 15 or 20 yards, I think every route run would benefit from Drake May. He throws a much better ball at those distances than Jacoby Brissett, who just struggles in those throws. Mm-hmm. He just does.
Yes, he does. Like, if you are hell-bent on moving on from Tyquan Thornton, you put in Drake May to showcase him for a little bit. Hey, look, he can stretch the field. I can actually reach him with the ball, and I can throw it deep easily as well.
Yep.
I understand there will be struggles. No, I do not believe Patriots fans will immediately turn on Drake May. They will actually not. They're turning on Brissett, even though they haven't turned on him as vehemently as they probably would like to, because they've been understanding of the beating the man has taken and how weird things have been for him. And they're more upset with ownership. There's still some frustration with Belichick, and they're more upset with Elliott Wolf and not addressing the offensive line and Jerod Mayo. They will give, I know there's room in my head and my heart for Drake May to struggle and show us how low that floor can go before he starts reaching for what we hope is a very high ceiling under center for the Patriots. There will be Patriot patience, I firmly believe.
With Patriot, Nate, you mean fans? Yeah, yes. I think so. Because also, then you're really bottoming out. If you turn on Drake May, now you're really bottoming out, and you really have to embrace the misery, because now you're thinking about, yeah, we have another top five pick, but do we need to use it on another quarterback? I think they will embrace Drake May, because I think they've already seen little nuggets of hope from him in the preseason, on the practice field, the comments from the coaches, the comments from the players. I think there's reason to believe in him and that he is a modern quarterback. So, yeah, I think there will be a decent amount of rope given by Patriot Nation for Drake May. I hope so.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable. All right. Well, there's your latest Six Rings and Football Things podcast, everybody, reacting to the news. Robert Saleh has been released. They have consciously uncoupled from Saleh as HC of the NYJ. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, who is no big Patriots fan himself, taking over as the interim HC of the NYJ. Could they reach out to Bill Belichick? Will Belichick unresign as the HC of the NYJ and finally fulfill his potential back on the dark side? And what will the Patriots do? What will happen with Peppers? Will they start Drake May this week? Andy and I are both on team yes, they start Peppers this week. And I think it would make for a really fun day on what should be another crisp and beautiful autumn Sunday afternoon at the Razor. You can find him on the WEEI Afternoon Show each and every day, 2 to 6 with Christian Arcan.
Hey, say hello for Arcan to everybody.
And, of course, you know where you can find me on the Six Rings Postgame Show, some nights at EEI, and at the bottom of a pint glass, I'm your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Thanks for listening to the latest edition of Six Rings and Football Things. Tell your friends to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Pod, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and wherever there is awesome football talk. Back at you in a couple days, everybody. Take care. God bless. Bye. And as always,
go Pats.